And that chapter 56. There's just a couple of verses in there I want to come to this morning. I will move about the scriptures. My theme this morning, or my subject, is very simple. It is dog tails for Christian living. And that word tails is T-A-L-E-S. Dog tails for Christian living. And that brings me through into that verse 10 and verse 11. It says there, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own, every one for his gain from his quarter. Let's just pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness. Thank you, Lord, for even thy word to the boys and girls. And O God, we pray you would bless it even to them. Thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. Thank you, Lord, we have it in our mother tongue this morning. Speak to each of us this morning, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. I'm quite sure that many of you have dogs at home. I'm quite sure many of you will have a tale to tell about some dog, either that dog attacking you or something else. Some animal lovers, let me put it this way, are split between dogs or cats. Some are dog people and some are cat people. In my growing up as a youngster, we had dogs about us, which were fantastic. But my mother was into her cats. And I originally grew up in the town of Bush Mills. And if you remember, years ago, they used to have the Lion Park, as they called it there. I remember we went out one night to celebrate one of my mother's birthdays. And the man of the restaurant walked in with this little lion cub. And my mother actually thought we had bought it for her birthday. But dogs, I think, had a greater impact on life. We used to have one of those big Lassie Coley dogs, a fantastic dog, and it would come into the house and all the rest of it. And I remember every single night when I went to bed at night, that dog would come in to my bedroom to make sure I was okay. It would never stay. You couldn't keep it there. Always come back down. It was one of those dogs that just wanted to make sure you were safe in that sense. We now, as a family, we have a brown Labrador, and I suppose it has become an asset even to our family. Always amazed at dogs because of the type of animal you can put them in a boot. You know, they say a dog is a man's best friend. You could put them in the boot of your car, keep them in there for a long time, open the boot, and there the dog jumps up and licks your face. You know, you should try that with some of your family members, and I don't think you would get the same response. I definitely wouldn't. I remember one day I was out on my bicycle. I just cleaned it, and I was ready to start and take it out again for a season. And I thought I would get on the shoes and take the bike out for a run. I hadn't been on the bike for so long. I come into the yard again. I was just wearing my jeans and these shoes, and I couldn't remember how to unclip my shoes out of the bike. Just for a moment, I'd stopped the bike, and all I could do was fall over. But there the dog comes in pity to me and licks me in the face, and I couldn't get him away. Just one of those things, a loving side to him. But yet there's the other side, whenever we had people who came to the house and wanted to leave stuff off and no one was at home, that dog wouldn't allow the people out of the car. He was, in that sense, a great watchdog, in that way, or a guard dog. Unless, of course, you're one of those people who are always around dogs and then you know how to get around a dog, and that is, as like a friend of mine came one day, he gave him half a sandwich, and that just, he was then his best buddy from then on. But dogs are important to society where we live today. I'm told that there's over 8.5 million dogs in the United Kingdom. That was one report. But where we come to here, we see a different dog. We see a dumb dog in this verse 11. We have dogs in every one of our homes nearly. And yet, in that sense, it's one of the greatest deterrents for pulling off burglars. But this dog is not much use. I know our dog at home, he'll bark long before you'll even hear the car coming in the drive. He's a cute. His ears are turned up, and he's always on guard in that sense. A good guard dog's important. But a dumb dog that we have here is useless. They're ineffective. The good dog will stop the undesirable and will warn you of a coming danger. This dog is asleep, whereas it needed to be awake. This dog is lying relaxing when it should have been ready for action. This dog was slumbering, and it was in a state of drowsiness when it should have been alert. And whenever I think of that, I think in the tales for us and the benefit for us is we need not to be like a dumb dog. We need to be on guard for all the dangers, even in our own personal life. As the scripture says, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And I just wonder this morning, are we alert to the wiles of the devil? Turn with me, please, over to Judges, Judges chapter 16. Some of the greatest stories of Scripture have got great teaching for each one of us. And this brings us into the story and the life of Samson. And in that chapter 16, you will see there in the verse 4 and verse 5, he was a man of great strength. He was a man who done great exploits for the Lord in that sense. But we see here in verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said to her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. With what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Here is a man who had great strength. Here is a man who was a difficulty to the Philistines of that day. And even as we, as believers, we have that strength and maybe we're active about the Lord's work, and yet Satan is trying in all his ways to find out where our strength is to try and to destroy us and destroy our life and our testimony. That is what I believe is going on here. Verse 15 of that same chapter, it says, and she said unto him, this is to the Samson, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. Told her all his heart. The very words of a woman had brought this man and pressed him so sore that he just blurted it all out where his strength came from. And he says to her in that verse, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Pressurized. Here's a man who's just about to lose his life and testimony as such for the Lord at that point in his life. And then we see in the verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Oh, what a terrible, depressing sight. This great man of strength has been brought low, so low, that it has destroyed as such his testimony. And people today, we need to be so careful, and I speak to myself, that we need to be so careful that we don't fall asleep in the wrong place. We have to be so careful that we're not off guard at any time. And as a very result of this, this man lost his strength. This man lost the very Spirit of God. This man lost his sight. And this man became a slave. He lost his freedom that he had. All because he lost out with God. Just for a moment, he told all where his strength was, and he lost it all. And so often we can come and seek to do things for the Lord, or seek to come to church, or be involved in the Lord's work in our own strength, and we've lost out. And we need to be so careful in what we're doing for God. We need to be so careful where we are. We need to be on guard today. It says in John 3:32, it says, "And the truth shall make you free." And so often we look at that verse of Scripture and we apply that to the unconverted. But you go back and you look at that verse and read it in context. That is to the believer. Make you free. So often we can get so many things around our life that are pulling us down and pulling us away from God and getting us off guard. And we are being left at that stage. We are being left ineffective, and we are being left like a dumb dog. And that is where Samson was. He was ineffective for the Lord. He was a dumb dog. And so often you see Christians and they're so vibrant for the Lord and so active for the Lord, and then all of a sudden something happens and they become like a dumb dog. And how we're encouraged to be on guard that we might not be like that. We come to a place many times where we're careless and we're disobedient that leads us into that place of sin. Samson forgot that his strength was from the Lord. Oh, he thought at this point he could be himself. He could do anything, any exploits. But he couldn't. One other example of this, I believe, is found over in Luke chapter 22 in the verse 31 to 33. And it is here the story of Simon, Simon or Peter. It says, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Here's a man who thinks, "I can do anything, Lord. I will do anything for thee. I will even go to prison. In fact, I'll even die for you." What happened to him? He ended up in the wrong place. He ended up being away from the Lord just for a time. And how we're encouraged in Scripture, even from 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Let's take instruction from God's people this morning in Scripture. Peter ended up denying the Lord. In that same chapter, Luke 22, in the verse 60, it says, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest." When he was challenged about being a disciple of Christ, and immediately when he spake, the cock crew, he denied Christ. How we can cry out, "How are the mighty fallen?" See, it's so easy to get caught up in certain things. And I know even as a young person, I got myself involved in the politics of Northern Ireland, which I'm sure many people have done. And those politics drew me out to different things and met different people, which led me into places where I shouldn't have been. And ended up trying to destroy my testimony. It did destroy my testimony in that sense. We need to be so careful where we're going and what we're doing and who we're spending time with. You know, as we think of the mighty that have fallen, you only have to look at our own denomination in some cases and see ministers and other men who are in places of leadership and how they have fallen. Men who have fallen into adultery, men who have fallen through alcohol. These things have happened. They're real today. And it's a warning to each one of us that we need to be so careful in what we're doing. Satan desires to destroy that testimony of yours today. But we must not only be a guard dog for ourselves, we must also be a guard dog for our family today, to be barking and warning our family. There's that great, simple verse of Scripture, and it's directed towards women, but I believe it's also to men as well in a sense. It says in Titus 2 and 5, "To be discreet, saying to the women, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." That word keepers has the idea of guarding. You go and look up the meaning behind it. It means to guard the home. And that great task is given to each of us to guard our home. Not only the things that are outside our home, but the things that we allow into our home. The things that are in our home at the moment, whether that be television or internet or social media. All of those things we need to guard around it. How we need to, even within that home, and the best way to guard our families is to teach them the word of God. To teach them the commandments. It says in Deuteronomy 6 and 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children," that is the commandments, "and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." not only our families, but we're to teach it to others. Again, in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here's the idea of duplicating. Here's the idea of teaching other people to be in guard, and they in turn might teach other people even in these days. But very lastly, just on this point of being a guard dog, turn over to Psalm 51. A well-known passage of Scripture. This is telling the story of David, how David has sinned with Bathsheba, how he's been brought to that place of conviction. So he has. Nathan had brought the word of God to him. David hears crying and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Here's a man who's been brought to this place of conviction, this place of repentance. And he also realizes that in his state and where he gets to then, in that place before God, he comes back down in that verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Not only are we to be a guard dog and a warning to ourselves and to our families, but we're also be a guard dog and a warning as such to other people outside of the family. The sinners, the transgressors. We are and we have that responsibility to be a guard dog for others. We are to warn of a coming danger. In Hebrews 9 it says, it's pointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I ask you this morning, you are all dressed in your finery this morning. But maybe there's some in this service this morning who is yet unsaved. You do not have that peace of God in your heart that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. Well, I'm giving you a warning this morning. There's a judgment coming, just as Noah stood and told those people for those many years, there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming for you today. And as Peter said to the men in Acts, repent, I would say, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a coming judgment. I today am here not as a dumb dog today. I'm here as a guard dog. I'm here as a dog that's going to warn you this morning. But also in that passage, there was also that other idea in here in the verse 11. There was the idea of a dog that was greedy. Well, again, we don't want to be in the negative sense. We don't want to be a dumb dog. And also, we don't want to be a greedy dog. But I do believe that we should be a hungry dog. We should know where the food is, be hungry for it. And I wonder today, what are you hungry for, spiritually speaking, that is? What are you feeding on, spiritually speaking? We know that if we eat the wrong stuff, then it affects our life in the physical sense. We wouldn't all want to be living on fast food all the time. I know we might think we do for a time. I remember as being in Canada, we stayed some time with this couple, and they ate out every single night. And even whenever we had at home, it was more fast food that we got. And I can tell you, whenever I got back home again, it was nice just to get that everyday home cooking. If you turn over, please, to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 22. Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. The disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take a children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Among the Jews, they looked at the Gentiles as being dogs. A dog wasn't something which you looked after. They were an unclean animal to them and had nothing to do with it. And many times dogs were like just running about and just any wild animal might be. But there's one thing I see in this here, and that is even the dogs know where to come for food. They come to the master's table. You know, our dog is smart enough to know whenever you're sitting at breakfast, when he looks in the window at you and he knows you're cutting your bacon, that he's looking towards that wee bit of fat that you might have left. Or whenever I arrive in the car, he arrives and puts his head in the door looking for maybe a sweet that I might have in the car. That dog's wise enough to know where the food might be. Matthew 4:4 it says, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We need to be so careful today that we're hungry in the right places. And it is that thing, we come daily to God's word. I'm sure if you've ever went through a day and you haven't spent any time in God's word, that your day is just not right. It's just not right. It's the same way I know if I end up spending a day where all you're doing is eating fast food or eating certain foods, that your day will just not be the same. You need to be eating the right stuff. We need to be, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." How the children of Israel gave us an example of how they ate that manna daily and how we're to feed upon Christ, who is the bread of life. That's what makes a difference. We need to know where to go. In Luke chapter 24 and the verse 29 to 31 is a beautiful portion of scripture. And this is just after the resurrection of Christ. And it was prayed this morning in the prayer meeting. It just brought this all to me. It just nailed these verses of scripture for me. But they constrained him, it says in Luke 24 verse 29 to 31, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and they vanished out of their sight. There's always something when people get together and there's food there. There's always something special when there's that feasting as such is happening there. That's a special time. That's a time of communion. That's a time of fellowship one with another. Food is one of those things that can break down barriers as well. It's also, I believe, for these men who are with Christ, it was a massive time of fulfillment, how they were filled after God left them. They knew they were different. I just wonder today, are we hungry for the Word of God? You know, in that portion which we read was all they do with the shepherds, which were greedy dogs. And again, that is highlighted again over in the book of Ezekiel 34. And it says there, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Shall not the shepherds feed the flocks?" Not only do we have a responsibility to feed ourselves in the Word of God, we have a responsibility to feed other people. And in all of these things, it is a picture of that last great supper, that marriage supper, that one which we'll be called to at the very end of time, that marriage supper of the Lamb. And very quickly, not only do we have the dumb dog, not only do we have the hungry dog as such, but lastly, I just want to look very quickly at the healing dog. And for that, I want you to look at Luke chapter 16, please. This is a story of Lazarus, the beggar. And it says there in Luke 16, verse 20, And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which lay at the gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That old dog, he showed mercy. That old dog showed pity upon him. Just like a story I gave you earlier of me falling off a bike and the dog over licking me. In this sense, a dog comes and to clean out the wounds of that poor man. Just like the woman who came and broke that alabaster box over Christ, she'd done what she could. You know, many times we need to draw alongside people. Need to draw alongside them and do what we can for them. Sometimes that word just fitly spoken, it can make a difference. It can change a life. Well, we have the example of the Good Samaritan who came and he found a man lying in the dirt of sin in many ways. And he was as such to that man, that Samaritan was like a dog in that way. As they looked at him religiously and politically, he was just a dog in that sense. But my, what a change he was. What a healing he was to him. How he took his tongue as such and he licked the wounds of that man. It says in Scripture that he had compassion on him. What a difference. And we, as God's people, need that. We need to be like a healing dog in that way. We need to have compassion on other people. We need to go to people. We need to bind them up, their wounds. We need to pour in the oil and the wine. And if I have to, we need to set them on our own beast. That might be today. We might need to get them in our own car. You know, and sometimes the very pride of life and our cars and all the rest of things, you know, we wouldn't let someone sit in it. We wouldn't let them do this. Here was a man who gave everything over. Here was a man who put him in his own beast and he brought him and put him in an inn. And he paid for him to be there and to be taken care of. Here was a man of healing. Here was a man who was making a change in that life. Maybe today you might think, well, what can I do? Maybe you can't do a lot, but you can pray. It says in James 5 and 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. The prayer of that fervent man. We can be a healing to other people. We are not to be people of lies. We're not to use our life as such to be exaggerating. We're not to be using our tongues to be busybodies. We're to be different. It says over in James 1, in the verse 26, it says there, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We need to be so careful. Isn't it true that whenever we get together, we can start that gossip? There's not much healing in those tongues, is there? We're encouraged over in Ephesians 4. For the sake of time, I'm just turning there. Ephesians 4 in the verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. There's the idea here of edifying. That's a word of building up, of encouragement. See, the other word there is corrupt communication. That word there, corrupt, is just the idea of bringing people down, of tearing them apart. But there needs to be grace in our tongues. There needs to be that tender-heartedness. There needs to be that forgiveness. Isn't it true that all these things are a heart issue? Let us reflect today where we are with God. Are we guarding ourselves, our family, and others? Are we feeding ourselves and helping to feed other people? Are we in the right place today? Are we careful about what we speak about? Proverbs 25 and verse 11 and 12 tells us that the very fitly spoken word as such is like apples of gold.